This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, the Director of Family and Children's Services for Samaritas Southwest in Kalamazoo, Rachel Sykes, discusses their programs designed to help keep families together before children are removed and placed in the foster care system. But first, Robert Cohen was a reporter and producer for the BBC for 10 years. Now he offers his thoughts regularly on the blog Writing from the Edge, mostly about Israel and Palestine. He will speak on Sunday night at 6:30 at First Presbyterian Church in Kalamazoo. Cohen's address, called A Jewish Journey to Palestinian Solidarity, is sponsored by Kairos of West Michigan. And Robert Cohen joins us via Skype. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Gordon.
So what I'm told is that you are someone who takes a firmly Jewish but anti-Zionist position on the Israel-Palestine conflict. Explain being firmly Jewish but anti-Zionist.
Okay, that's right. And I think what surprises people is that feels like it's a contradiction. How can you be firmly in Jewish and yet say that you don't support Zionism and that you're highly critical of the state of Israel? I think when people hear me say that, they're often very surprised and can't quite get their head around it. And it's been a long journey for me. I certainly didn't sort of think in this way 25, 30 years ago. And it's taken me many years and a lot of thinking and reading, and finally having the opportunity to go to the West Bank, go to Israel and speak to Palestinians to get the view that I have today. But I absolutely think that the way that I can express my Jewish identity in the 21st century is to be in solidarity with the Palestinian people.
And why exactly do you think that that is the best way to express your Jewish identity?
For me, being Jewish is about understanding our history over the last 2,000 years and recognizing what it meant to be for most of that time a minority that wasn't treated very well, that didn't have the same opportunities as other people around them and were discriminated against, often harshly and violently. And that really has sort of formed my outlook on what it means to be Jewish today, and that if you're Jewish, you really should be siding with other people who have also suffered from discrimination and prejudice and are lacking in equal rights from those around them. So for me to be Jewish means to think, well, I should stand beside those people, even if, as in this case, it's my own people, the Jewish people, who have actually created that bad situation for the Palestinian people.
One of the things that you wrote on the blog is that for years, Jewish leadership has proclaimed its support for the two-state solution while consistently undermining any chance of it ever happening. Can you give us a couple of specific examples of that undermining the chance for a two-state solution?
Yes. I mean, this is something which frustrates me incredibly, and it's certainly sort of happened again in the last couple of months with President Trump's announcement over Jerusalem. I've always thought that if the Jewish community leadership really believed in a two-state solution, then they should have been speaking out for a long time against the occupation of the West Bank, against the growth of the settlements in the West Bank. And they should have been actively saying that a two-state solution will mean that Jerusalem will have to be a shared capital. But certainly in the United Kingdom, you never heard that sort of thing coming from the Jewish community leadership. They would say, yes, we support two states. But if you press them on what would that need to look like and what should you be saying now to try and encourage it to happen, then they would sort of say nothing. And they say, well, it's all about the end negotiations and the two sides have to sit down together and work all these things out. And as we saw at the end of last year, when President Trump made his announcement about recognizing Jerusalem as the unified capital of the State of Israel, what happened in the UK was our chief rabbi here and the main communal body both came out and welcomed that announcement. And I don't know how you can be serious about supporting a two-state solution and then come out and support what Trump did.
When President Trump was inaugurated, you wrote that him coming into office was an opportunity regarding the Israel-Palestine conflict. Explain exactly what you meant there.
I think what I was getting at was that I thought things would actually become clearer in terms of the role that the United States has played in the Middle East peace process over the last 25, 30 years, and that America, under successive presidents, has liked to present itself as being the honest broker, as being the person that can sort of sit down and help the Israelis and the Palestinians talk to each other. But in reality, it always seemed to be that they were siding with the Israelis. And with Trump coming into office, it looked, and I think it's obviously come to pass, that the United States of America is clearly favouring one side over the other. And I think you've seen that in the last 12 months during President Trump's time in office. And the Jerusalem announcement was, well, you know, a very clear indication that he was going to favour the Israelis in terms of any Middle East peace plan that he eventually is going to come out with.
Is there any way to truly approach the Israel-Palestine situation even-handedly, or do you almost have to, just because of the nature of it, have to pick one side or the other to at least favor?
I think you've really hit on a very important issue, Gordon, and that lots of people who have an interest in this particular part of the world and want to be supportive both to Jews and to Palestinians, want to be balanced and want to be even-handed, and they get uncomfortable if it seems that there seems to be a bias either on one side or the other. And I think what I've learned to understand over the last few years is that sort of portrayal of the situation as if it's a conflict between two equals, as if it's sort of, you know, two opposing armies facing off against each other, or two sides just sort of fighting over, you know, national rights. It's actually the wrong way to look at it. I think it then presents the picture in a way that's actually not true. I think one side clearly has power over the other side, and there isn't really any balance and there isn't any equality in that relationship. And until you really appreciate that and understand that lack of equality and that lack of real balance, you're not really going to find a way through this. And I find the position that says, well, you know, we need to be even-handed and we need to be balanced, I actually think that's unhelpful, because it's not recognizing the true political dynamics of the situation.
Even if you look at it, though, and say, really Israel is in the position of power. They're the ones that can certainly do the most to change things and to bring about a settlement. Can you still fairly look at the Palestinians and say, there are things they could do differently, or there are mistakes they have made which have not helped the situation?
I think you can point to mistakes, and I don't feel that being in Palestinian solidarity means that I have to excuse behavior from the Palestinian side any more than I want to excuse poor behavior or bad judgments from the Israeli Jewish side either. There are things that the Palestinian Authority have done and said that I don't particularly like. I'm not a great fan of Hamas. But I come down in the end to the fundamental point about, you know, one people have been colonized and occupied and now besieged, and the other side are the occupiers and the colonizers and the besiegers, and that's the fundamental point for me. I don't feel like I have to agree with every expression of resistance or political policy that are expressed by all the various factions within the Palestinian side.
You, in your writings, have also been critical of the Obama administration and how they handled Israel and Palestine before President Trump came to office. Where has American diplomacy fallen short here? What sort of things could the United States do, and maybe other countries as well, that might change the dynamics?
Well, I do think that it needs to be an internationally led approach to solving this. I think the idea of Israel just being able to sit down on the other side of the table with the Palestinians, that they'll be able to sort of sort this thing out between them, that's a crazy idea, because, as to my earlier point, it doesn't take into account the power imbalance. So there has to be an international element to all of this, and the first thing that needs to happen is that governments around the world, certainly the United States and certainly Great Britain, have to become much tougher on Israel when it comes to the occupation and the continued growth of the settlements. And you began to see it under the Obama administration. If you go back to 2009, and it looked like Barack Obama was going to be very tough on Israel, but it didn't last very long. He seemed to back down very quickly. And I had high hopes for what might be achieved under the Obama presidency, and became very disappointed and disillusioned. But in terms of what I think needs to happen now is it needs to be a much stronger international resolve that says to Israel, no, we're not going to kind of treat you as a normal democratic state unless you face into this. We're not going to continue to trade with you in the way that we currently do unless you address these issues. And we won't recognize you as being a fully functioning democracy, because actually, can you really be one when there's a 50-year occupation that shows no sign of ending?
You also wrote a piece about Prince William visiting Israel this summer. And basically, you said, you know, if you're going to go, make it count. What would you like to see him do?
I think Prince William's visit really needs to be understood through the lens of Brexit. So Brexit is the decision that voters in the United Kingdom took to leave the European Union. And that means we're looking for new trading partners once we leave the EU. And I think Prince William's visit has been set up to help us improve trade relationships with Israel. If Prince William's going to go there, and I think he is primarily going to be going there as a kind of trade ambassador in reality, I would like him to go into the West Bank, talk to Palestinians, see what the settlements mean in terms of what that effect is on the local Palestinian economy. And for him to understand, if he's there as a trade mission, then he needs to understand why Palestinians can't improve their economic situation as well as they might be able to do, and why the settlements in particular stop that improvement happening. I'd also like him to go onto the other side of the country and see Gaza, go into Gaza and see the devastation that's been caused by the onslaughts that have happened in 2008, 2009 and 2012 and 2014, and see the impact of that on ordinary people, and to hopefully then come back to this country with a much rounder picture of what it means. What does it mean for 6-7 million Palestinians to be effectively under Israeli control, but without any democratic say in what's controlling their lives?
One thing that comes across in reading the various pieces that you write on the blog is this idea of introspection and thinking about your own thought process, your own way of seeing things, and how it relates to religion and all of that. Do you think that that is something, again, even recognizing that Israel is in the position of power here, that the Palestinians might partake in as well, and maybe even the rest of us, this idea of giving some thought to what we stand for and what we really want to see in a truly just world?
I think it's very important. I mean, for me, I do come at it thinking from a sort of religiously Jewish perspective, and I think about sort of my own sort of place in the world and my place within the Jewish community. And I think it's important for people to not be trapped within tribal loyalties that then blind them to great injustice. And it's very normal and understandable to want to sort of side with your own community and your own people and your own faith. And I can understand why that happens. But it's good to sort of challenge yourself as well and think, well, is this really right? Am I actually standing in the right place on this issue? Or do I need to stand alongside other people who may be suffering and could do with my help?
Robert Cohen will speak on Sunday night at 6:30 at First Presbyterian Church of Kalamazoo. His address, called A Jewish Journey to Palestinian Solidarity, is sponsored by Kairos of West Michigan. He joined us via Skype. Robert Cohen, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Links to Robert Cohen's entries on the blog Writing from the Edge can be found at wmuk.org.